the planet yet. She walked out of the kitchen. 4. Let me tell you about that jade elephant. My mother's name, my biological mother's name, was Cheryl Booten. She died when I was 5. She was hiking with a friend and she fell. My memories of her are what you'd expect them to be, hazy fragments from a 5-year-old mind, supported by a precious few pictures and videos. They weren't that much better when I was younger. 5 is a bad age to lose a mother, and to hope to remember her for who she was. One thing I had from her was a stuffed version of Babar the elephant that my mother gave to me on my 4th birthday. I was sick that day and had to stay in bed all day long. This did not make me happy, and I let everyone know it, because that was the kind of 4-year-old I was. My mother surprised me with the Babar doll, and then we cuddled up together, and she read Babar's stories to me until I fell asleep, lying across her. It's my strongest memory of her, even now. Not so much how she looked, but the low and warm sound of her voice, and the softness of her belly as I lay against her and drifted off, her stroking my head. The sensation of my mother, and the feeling of love and comfort from her. I miss her. Still do. Even now. Even right now. After my mother died, I couldn't go anywhere without Babar. He was my connection to her, my connection to that love and comfort I didn't have anymore. Being away from Babar meant being away from what I had left of her. I was 5 years old. This was my way of handling my loss. It kept me from falling into myself, I think. 5 is a bad age to lose your mother. Like I said, I think it could be a good age to lose yourself if you're not careful. Shortly after my mother's funeral, my father and I left Phoenix, where I was born, and moved to Covell, a space station orbiting above a planet called Omach, where he did research. Occasionally, his job had him leave Covell on business trips. When that happened, I stayed with my friend Kay Green and her parents. One time my father was leaving on a trip, he was running late and forgot to pack Babar for me. When I figured this out, it didn't take long, I started to cry and panic. To placate me, and because he did love me, you know, he promised to bring me a Celeste doll when he returned from his trip. He asked me to be brave until then. I said I would, and he kissed me and told me to go play with Kay. I did. While he was away, we were attacked. It would be a very long time before I would see my father again. He remembered his promise and brought me a Celeste. It was the first thing he did when I saw him. I still have her, but I don't have Babar. In time, I became an orphan. I was adopted by John and Jane, who I call Dad and Mom, but not Father and Mother, because those I keep for Charles and Cheryl Booten, my first parents. John and Jane understand this well enough. They don't mind that I make the distinction. Before we moved to Huckleberry, just before, Jane and I went to a mall in Phoenix City, the capital city of Phoenix. We were on our way to get ice cream. When we passed a toy store, I ran in to play hide and seek with Jane. This went smashingly until I went down an aisle with stuffed animals in it and came face to face with Babar. Not my Babar, of course, but one close enough to him that all I could do was stop and stare. Jane came up behind me, which meant she couldn't see my face. "Look," she said, "it's Babar. Would you like one to go with your Celeste doll?" She reached over and picked one out of the bin. I screamed and slapped it out of her hand and ran out of the toy store. Jane caught up with me and held me while I sobbed, cradling me against her shoulder, stroking my head like my mother did when she read the Babar stories to me on my birthday. I cried myself out, and then when I was done, I told her about the Babar my mother had given me. Jane understood why I didn't want another Babar. It wasn't right to have a new one. It wouldn't be right to put something on top of those memories of her. To pretend that another Babar could replace the one she gave me. It wasn't the toy. It was everything about the toy. I asked Jane not to tell John about Babar, or what had just happened. I was feeling out of sorts enough, having just gone to pieces in front of my new mom. I didn't want to drag my new dad into it, too. She promised. And then she gave me a hug, and we went to get ice cream, and I just about made myself throw up eating an entire banana split. which to my 8-year-old mind was a good thing. Truly an eventful day all around. A week later, Jane and I were standing on the observation deck of the CDFS Amerigo Vespucci, staring down at the blue and green world named Huckleberry, where we would live the rest of our lives, or so we thought. John had just left us to take care of some last-minute business before we took our shuttle trip down to Missouri City, from where we would go to New Goa, our new home. Jane and I were holding hands and pointing out surface features to each other, trying to see if we could see Missouri City from geostationary orbit. We couldn't, but we made good guesses. "I have something for you," Jane said to me after we decided where Missouri City would be, or ought to be, anyway. "Something I wanted to give you before we landed on Huckleberry."
"I hope it's a puppy," I said.
I'd been hinting in that direction for a couple of weeks. Jane laughed. "No puppies," she said. "At least not until we're actually settled in, okay?"
"Oh, all right," I said, disappointed.
"No, it's this," Jane said. She reached into her pocket to pull out a silver chain with something that was a pale green at the end. I took the chain and looked at the pendant.
"It's an elephant," I said.
"It is," Jane said. She knelt down so that she and I were face to face. "I bought it on Phoenix just before we left. I saw it in a shop and it made me think of you."
"Because of Babar," I said.
"Yes," Jane said, "but for other reasons too. Most of the people who live on Huckleberry are from a country on Earth called India, and many of them are Hindu, which is a religion. They have a god called Ganesh, who has the head of an elephant. Ganesh is their god of intelligence, and I think you're pretty smart. He's also the god of beginnings, which makes sense, too."
"Because we're starting our lives here," I said.
"Right," Jane said. She took the pendant and necklace from me and put the silver chain around my neck, fastening it in the back. "There's also the saying that an elephant never forgets. Have you heard it?" I nodded. "John and I are proud to be your parents, Zoe. We're happy you're part of our life now, and will help us make our life to come. But I know neither of us would want you ever to forget your mother and father." She drew back and then touched the pendant, gently. "This is to remind you how much we love you," Jane said. "But I hope it will also remind you how much your father and mother loved you too. You're loved by two sets of parents, Zoe. Don't forget about the first, because you're with us now."
"I won't," I said. "I promise."